Before we begin, we have a couple announcements to make. I noticed there's a work date Tuesday, August 23rd from 9 to 12. So if you are so inclined, we could use your help on Tuesday. Also, the upper room is in the back of the sanctuary on the table. The cost is $1.25. And also, you can see the calendar that is listed on the back also. Are there any other announcements?
Heidi, choir rehearsal Thursday night at 6:45.
Choir rehearsal at 6:45. And if you have a voice, they could always have an extra person in the choir. Anyone else? Any other announcements? The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, number 93, Praise Him, Praise Him. Things visible and invisible. God is a good God, gracious and caring. God is a holy God, perfect in his being and in his expectations from us. God is an all-knowing God, fully aware of what is happening in the world at large and in our private worlds as well. We worship then in awe and wonder, in love and gratitude, for our God is a great God. Let us pray. Sometimes, Lord, we need to be comforted, sometimes encouraged, sometimes inspired. But other times we need to be challenged, even disturbed, aroused out of our complacency. So we ask, Lord God, that you will give us this morning not what we want, but what we need. For that is the surest sign of your love, because you have taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. As we give, let us remember that God does not hold us accountable for results. God only expects us to be faithful. Let us be faithful servants as we give our offerings. Our offertory hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, number 601, verses 1, 2, and 4. I am thine, O Lord.
We ask, Father, your help in being faithful in all we are and in all we give. Amen.
Okay, the community proclaims the Word of God. Our scripture reading isn't what it is listed in the bulletin or in the chimes. Our scripture reading is from Psalms, chapter 88, and that's in the Old Testament. O Lord my God, I call for help by day. I cry out in the night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thy ear to hear my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am reckoned among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the ground, like those whom thou dost remember no more, for they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Thy wrath lies upon me, and thou dost overwhelm me with all thy waves. Thou hast caused my companions to shun me. Thou hast made me a thing of horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eyes grow dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon thee, O Lord. I spread out my hands to thee. Dost thou work wonders for the dead? Does the shades rise up to praise thee? Is thy steadfast love declared in the grave? Or thy faithfulness in Abaddon? Are thy wonders known in the darkness? Or thy saving help in the land of the forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to thee. In the morning my prayers come before thee. O Lord, why dost thou cast me off? Why dost thou hide thy face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer thy terrors. I am helpless. Thy wrath has swept over me. The dread assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in upon me together. They have caused lover and friend to shun me. My companions are in darkness. The anthem this morning by the Sanctuary Choir is God is There.
There's a delightful children's book that many of you may be familiar with, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And it tells about a little boy named Alexander who wakes up with gum in his hair. Then his best friend deserts him, and maybe worst of all, he served lima beans for supper. And then, of course, it just goes on and on about these terrible things that happened to him during that day. And I'm sure that we can all be sympathetic to that because we've had those kinds of days. And when those bad days seem to overwhelm us, we may ask, where is God? Well, in Psalm 34, verse 18, we read, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. God is there.
Everywhere I go, God is watching. Thank you, choir. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all again. I can't believe it's been 3 weeks. It feels so much longer than that, and I'm so grateful to be back with you and worshiping with you on this dreary but beautiful Sunday together. So as we come together, understanding that our journeys are a little broken sometimes, we come at this moment to celebrate those joys as well as lifting up those concerns on our hearts that we as a church family want to share together, because prayer united in voice is always strong in our God's eyes. So if there's any concerns or joys that you'd like to share with this morning, now would be the time to do so. Definitely. Definitely a God thing, absolutely. So if I'm hearing you correctly, did we have a pet that ran away but came back? No. It hasn't come back. Oh, okay. What's your pet's name?
Simba.
Simba. Okay. We'll definitely pray for Simba. He's a kitty. Okay. Well, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, on this most holiest of days during the week, we come together as a church family. United where one or two or three of us are gathered in your name, we know that you hear us and walk with us. And we lift up those meditations on our hearts, dear Lord, that only we can together as a church family do. We ask you to be with those in our midst that may be struggling and suffering this week. We ask you to be with Mina and continue to walk with her as she journeys through what this new normal is, when she understands what life on this earth is without her husband. We ask that you be with her in her times of sorrow, in her times of memory, and in her times of joy when she understands that her life is here and living the legacy of her husband. Lord, we ask you to be with all of those that are working on Jackie's roof, and we thank you for the giving of their time and their blessings to be able to give their talents to one of our faithful, dear Lord. We ask that the weather maintain for them and that they're able to complete the job so that they can go on to do the responsibilities and the jobs that they have this upcoming week. Lord, we ask you to be with all those in our midst that are going back to school. We thank you for those in our midst that have abundance to be able to give to donate, and the beauty and the sincerity of those that receive it. We thank you so much for the ability to be able to give, and for those that are able to receive graciously and with gratefulness. We ask you to be with our teachers and our principals and our school administrators and all of those that are going back to teach our youth again this year. We ask for peace and guidance for them. We ask us for peace and resiliency, and we ask for strength and an eagerness and a diligence to learn within our youth as they go back to school in these upcoming weeks. We ask you to be with those that have lost loved ones, even the furry kind, and we ask for Simba's safe return to the family that loves her. Lord, we ask you to be within our midst all those that are suffering devastating losses at the hands of nature, and we ask you to be with those in Louisiana that are flooded out, and again, dear Lord, trying to understand what a new normal is after devastation and through heartache. We ask you to continue to be with those in West Virginia that are still trying to recover from the flooding and the water and being condemned and coming to understand that material possessions can be replaced but lives cannot, and we ask that you just continue to walk with all of these people, as well as our local and national and global leaders, and understanding what it means to discern true peace and authenticity in our hearts. And we ask you to be with those quiet meditations of our hearts that we may not have mentioned, but dear Lord, you know what they are, and we lift them up to you now in this moment. And it is in your quiet and precious and still small voice we pray. Amen. The community comes together to share worship with our children, so those of us that may be young at heart but also in chronological age are invited to come forward to share a message.
Wow, we got bunches. It's nice when we have kids in bunches. Okay, we ready?
Yeah.
I think everybody's here. Are we all here? Okay, everybody's here? Mm-hmm. Oh, we have one that's not so happy. I understand your feelings, bud. He wants his mommy. I understand that. There's sometimes, at my age, I want my mommy. Okay, today I'm going to talk to you about a word called community. Anybody know what community means?
No.
You don't know what community means? Do you know what community means?
Yeah.
What does it mean? Say that again.
Yeah.
It's when you take bugs and put them together. Well, in a way, he's not wrong. You know, when people are together, community means... Ruth, you know what community means? Okay. So you put things together and it comes together, right?
Yeah.
You're right. It's when people come together to do something as a group. Now, some of you were here, some of you weren't. My mom's having a new roof put on her house, all right? Well, Casey and George are helping put the roof on. Guess what? I want to help put the roof on. Okay, do you want to help put the roof on? It's fun. It look, they're on top of the roof. It's so I'm going to help put the roof on.
I'm ceiling
off. You're ceiling. So you need a roof too. So you know what the roof is like. Yeah. The ceiling. Oh, the ceiling. That's right. Okay. Well, guess what? So I'm going to help with the roof. So what I thought I could do is I could help move shingles. Now, shingles are these things that are about this big. All right? My husband and my son said, you can't move shingles. They're too hard. They're too heavy. I said, yes, I can. So I get up in the truck to move the shingles off of the truck. Guess what? They're too big. They're too heavy. I couldn't do that. I couldn't move shingles. So I thought, well, I could climb up on the roof and I could hand nails or something. I could do that. Well, I get about halfway up the scaffolding, which is like ladders. It was too high. Not only did I get scared climbing up, I get scared climbing down. You know, once you get up there, you got to come down. Well, I wasn't much help there. Well, not too high. Well, so then I thought, I can pick the shingles off the ground. They take the old shingles off, throw them, and I could pick the old shingles off the ground. I could do that. Except they're still throwing shingles at me off the roof, so you can't go underneath there. Well, I want to help. What do I do? Well, guess what I did? I'm cooked. I made sandwiches. My mom and I made ribs. Guess what else we did? We kept the coolers filled with ice, and we kept throwing up Gatorade and water and things like that. Now, the reason I'm telling you that story is because we all can do that. Ruth, have you helped people do things? So you help your dad. See how good that is? Now, sometimes... And you eat eggs. Well, let me tell you something about your egg eating. Let me tell you what. Let me finish this thought, and then I'll get to you. Let me think about this. Sometimes it's not what we physically can do to help. What about if there's a big project and mommy and daddy are working on that project? You know something the best thing for you to do is? Your best thing is for you to eat. Eat your eggs so they don't have to worry about you. How about... Okay, chicken nuggets. Or you could go in the corner and sit from far away and play with your toys and watch what's going on. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to help out any way we can. Helping is dragging shingles up on the roof. Helping is keeping ice in. Helping is what else, Lily?
I help my mom cook and clean.
You help mom cook and clean. That's called community. That's what God and Jesus wants us to do. They want us to help out. And some of it's eating your dinner for them so they don't have to worry about it. And some of it's playing in the corner so they don't have to worry about you. But he eats mac and cheese, and that's the whole thing. And you do too? So what do we have? A community of people that are going to help and eat mac and cheese. Okay, guys, we'll see you next week.
I don't know about anybody else, but I'm regretting missing breakfast at this moment. So as we come together this morning to proclaim God's word, we do have a change in our scripture reference. It is the Gospel of Matthew we're going to be sharing together today, chapter 6, verses 7 through 15. I'm not quite sure what page number it is in your pew Bibles, but we'll take a couple seconds to flip through that if you'd like to follow along. I'm sorry?
Page 8.
Okay, page 5. So in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. And we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I think this morning I'm just going to have a conversation with everyone. I have to say, in all of the years of my ministerial career, this one probably tops the cake as leaving me most challenged, most broken, and without any words to share. So as I struggled this week of what to share with you, fighting back the feelings of being so excited to come back again and be with all of you, but just feeling so drained and depleted and nothing to share with you, I figured we'd share together the journey of my prayer, which I think is probably the best way for us to share and leave. And as I sat here this morning seeing worship open up through the opening hymn, through the call to worship, through the sanctuary choir, through Alexander the Great, terrible, horrific day, I think for all of us, it's a divine snapshot of that it's not our plan, it's God's plan. At the end of last week, my daughter ended vacation Bible school, which for us is usually a great time. But on that closing ceremony that Friday night, her best friend and her mother received some terrible news. Her best friend's mother is a month younger than myself. We share a lot of things in common, especially our children. And she, Laura, my daughter's best friend's mother, has been battling stage 4 metastatic cancer for some time. She's probably been one of the most uplifting, spiritually centered, focused individuals I've ever met in my entire life. But a couple days prior, we noticed that Laura was retaining some fluid, was denied chemotherapy for the first time, and really wasn't feeling well. So on Thursday, she went to the doctors to get drained, and they ran some preliminary biopsy screenings on that fluid and determined that the cancer had metastasized so bad that it was just not absorbing anymore, and that chemotherapy at this stage probably was going to hurt her more than it was going to help her. So as we began this journey together trying to educate our children of what to say, we never really skirted around the end of life issues. We just focused on Laura's not feeling well, today's a good day, tomorrow's a better day. And so in that moment, we were confronted with real end of life issues. And so to sit down with a 10-year-old and try to explain to her what that means was one of the most painful things that her dad and I have ever done. So after vacation Bible school that evening on Friday, we sat down with Isabella and we just talked. We let her ask all the questions that she wanted to ask, and we just tried to say, this is about doing everything that you want to do rather than being sad at this moment that she's going to be gone. And at 10 years old, I mean, at 43 years old, I don't think I can get that. But kids are pretty resilient, and so we started out the week that way. Now, Bella knew that I was leaving on Monday to go to Bethany, to provide a class for the Buffalo Seminary students from West Virginia and Pennsylvania. It's something that the West Virginia region does every year, and now that we've partnered with West Virginia, they offer it to Pennsylvania every year as well. And so they asked me to be the Tuesday morning speaker, which is a 7-hour class for ministers in formation as well as newly ordained ministers about some of the practicalities that seminary doesn't teach us. So on Tuesday, my responsibility was to educate ministers on mental health awareness because it's an initiative that we're trying to push in Pennsylvania and West Virginia. So Monday night, I get up there safely and sound. We have a great dinner together. We fellowship. Everything is wonderful. We get up Tuesday morning, and we're in Bethany. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been to Bethany, but it's one of the smallest campuses I've ever been on. The community really is the campus. Kids aren't back in school yet, so kids are starting to filter in from sports teams and fraternities and sororities, so there aren't many faculty buildings that are open yet. So as we get to the conference center in the morning, which is on one side of the campus, we're putzing around, preparing to get ready, when one of the dean of students walked in and said, "I need you guys to know that you're on lockdown." Well, as a mental health professional, I kind of understand that lockdown is varying degrees, and so what does that really mean? And so we asked her, "What do you mean by that?" And all she kept saying was, "It's very bad, it's very bad. You have to stay in this room, it's very bad." So I walked outside to the woman that, as she was locking the doors around, clearly seeing that she was panic-stricken and not knowing how to gather around what she needed to do, because it's Bethany, and very few times have they probably ever experienced something like this. And I said to her, "Okay, Donna, tell me what's going on. What can we do to help you?" And she said, "Two African-American males with shotguns walked into the Alpha Sigma Nu house, and so we're on lockdown." And I said, "Yeah, okay, well, that is bad. That's probably something we should lock down for." And then a few minutes later, she came back in and said, "Okay, now we're sheltering in place." And for those of you that really don't understand the stages of lockdown, lockdown is a general precaution. Sheltering in place means it's really serious. And so apparently the two assailants had left the Alpha Sigma Nu house and they couldn't locate them on campus. And knowing that our building and the Student Life building were the only two buildings that had people in it, we became more concerned about sheltering in place and really locking all the doors. And then it hits the news. So not only are we trying to understand what this means for us, but now we have our loved ones texting us and calling us and asking us and wondering if we're okay. And thankfully at 11:30 the lockdown was lifted and the guns were recovered, the people were not, but they kind of have an idea of where this was going. But nonetheless, it was awfully scary. So we ride that wave, and I ride that wave that day and go into a beautiful class that I couldn't have asked to be more spiritually fulfilling, and then we go to dinner. So when we end, they're like, "Nikki, before you go home, let's celebrate dinner together." Fantastic. So we go to a little mom-and-pop shop in Avella, Pennsylvania, which is really close to Bethany, and we sit there to eat, the seven of us, and as I'm sitting there, I get stung by a bee. Okay, pretty painful, but not real big deal, right? Except I'm allergic to bees. So as I tried to play it off, the swelling just instantaneously ensued, and so it started to move up my leg. Haven't been bit in 20 years, so really have never renewed my EpiPen. So wondering about, well, what am I going to do? So I graciously exit the meal and say, "I think I'm going to head to a MedExpress. That's probably the best thing to do." And walk into the MedExpress to where the swelling now is above my ankle and approaching my knee. And so when I walk into MedExpress, now they're 5 minutes from closing. It's in Canonsburg. I can't put a shoe on. I'm looking ridiculous. And I walk in there and I just say, "Listen, I'm so sorry you're going to close, but this has been really the day from Hades, so I'm going to need you to give me a steroid injection, give me some Benadryl so I can go home." So that's what they do, and then they begin to educate me on, well, you know, you're getting older, and allergic reactions are different, and we really should consider an EpiPen, and yeah, just give me the injection so I can go home. I get home, safe at home, hyped up on Benadryl and Tylenol PM and the injection of the steroid, and just sit down to bed to say, you know what, this day is over. I'm going to go to sleep, get some sleep, and then we'll start the day new tomorrow. Did I fail to mention that I was on call this week? Well, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call from my staff, panicked. It's probably one of my coolest, calmest, collected staff members I've ever hired, and she is panicked. Nikki, she says, our nurse is in the nurse's station hunched over, and I can't get her to open the door, and I don't have keys to get in the med room. Only our nurses have keys because we have narcotics and controlled substances. So if you're not a nurse, you can't have access to those drugs. But she's hunched over in the nurse's station, and we can't break down the door. Thankfully, she had called 911 prior to her calling me, and I said, when they get there, Lindsay, let them break the door in. I will be there in 10 minutes. I was there in 15 minutes. As they were wheeling out our nurse, providing CPR, knowing that she wasn't going to make it. So that night, we get to the hospital, we sit with the family, we know that she has passed, and we're left broken. And so now I have to come back to 45 staff that are on a night team watching her as the CPR began, watching them break in the door, just being traumatized and trying to mitigate with them their pain, knowing that we still have patients that we have to see and serve. So to say the least, the next 48 hours after that moment was just on autopilot of trying to reach out to everybody else and holding myself together. So what do you think happened on Saturday morning? I just broke down. I had nothing left. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to pray. I certainly didn't want to put a sermon together because there was nothing that I could possibly say that was going to make this past week be better. And so as I was on the phone last evening with the Reverend Larry Grubbs, who is a retired regional minister from the Capital area, and I'm just bawling on the phone saying, I'm just going to tell them I can't preach. I'm just going to call off. I don't know what else to do. I feel like I was given a responsibility to share God's word with you for somehow, and I had nothing to give. And Larry said, well, it sounds to me like you have something to give. And his words were powerful because he said, what were the two scripture things, what were the two prayers that came to your mind this week? And I said, well, Psalm 88 and the Lord's Prayer. And he said, sister, I think you have a sermon. And that's what I want to share with you this week. Psalm 88 is not a fun sermon. It's not a fun scripture reading. It's not a fun psalm. You're not going to see it on a lectionary. You're not going to see any minister somewhat in their right mind preach this message to you because it is sad, it is desperation, and it is agony. It is really a lament of feeling like God isn't hearing us and feeling like that door is closed and feeling like you've been abandoned. But the beauty in that scripture for me this week was that it gave me an okay to yell and cry and scream and question and know that scripturally I'm as relevant as I was prior. That scripture teaches us that we can question and we can be angry, but as long as we're authentic and genuine and prostrate ourselves in front of our Lord, those answers come to us. So what do we do when we have nothing to say? We pray. And the importance is because we're telling God exactly how we feel. It may not make sense to us, but it makes sense to God. Because to that end, though, when we pray and we lament and we prostrate ourselves to our God, we have to be willing to listen to what God's going to tell us back, which is pretty powerful. Verse 7 of the Lord's Prayer tells us to not heap on empty phrases. which is a blessing to all of us if we step away, because we're not meant to be ostentatious in the way that we pray to our God. It's not about picking the biggest words. It's not about putting on the best clothes. It's not about what we look like in these pews on Sunday mornings, because God knows what we're going to ask before we even ask it, and verse 8 tells us that. It's about laying down our burdens authentically and honestly, and waiting for our God to walk with us, to cry with us, and to carry us if needed. It doesn't mean that God is choosing for us to be in pain. When we see in the verse where God tells us this you and we relationship back and forth between the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Your kingdom will be done." It doesn't mean that God's picking for us what's going to happen. But by giving us our daily bread, he's sustaining us and loving us through it. And probably the most important thing to take away from this prayer this morning, from our Lord's Prayer, is to forget our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oftentimes we walk away from this thinking that this is an homage, that God is telling us that we have to forgive those that have forsaken us in order to receive God's love and the compassion that's open. But I want to challenge you this week to see for me, as when I prayed this as a mantra, to just forgive. For me, it was that still small voice that maybe, just maybe, in these moments of quiet, it's about forgiving ourselves as much as we forgive everyone around us, and to be gracious about it. And understand that when we are at a loss, it is normal and it is human, and not about a time of trial or testing. But it's about Jesus walking with us and loving with us and crying with us, because that's the message that we often miss when we try to give the best of everything from this pulpit. I am a flawed individual, my friend. Called by God, yes. Sanctioned by love, absolutely. Understand my Bible in and out, absolutely. But there are days I don't want to pick my head up because I am angry and I am mad. Why do I have to explain to a 10-year-old what life is like to lose their mother? And then 4 days later to explain to that same 10-year-old that she could have lost her mother in the same week. And then to watch someone in the moment and the fit of their life lose their life and try to explain it. I don't have the answers. I don't. But I can cry with you. And I can question with you. And I can pick my head up and know that as angry as I am, as Psalm 88 tells us that we can be, I am just as sanctified in knowing that when I forgive myself and open myself up to God's love, that it's okay. So we don't do things just to do them, my friends. Don't think about how it looks to the other person. And don't think for 1 minute that your faith has to be measured by what it looks like to the other person. Prayer's not about the right formula. It's not about the right pattern or the program. This is God that we're talking about. God that shapes us and fashions us before we are born. And the one that knows us better than we know ourselves. The Lord's Prayer is the reassuring words. And asking God through the chaos and the uncertainty and the pain to reveal who God's self is to us. And understanding that God's in charge and not us. We can't pretend to be people that we're not, or to be things that we're not going to be. And this means that for us, that pain sometimes is a liturgical teaching point. And for me to stand up here this morning and share anything different is disingenuous and inauthentic. Prayer is to get us to relax in some ways so that we do not get caught up in what may or may not happen. Scripture tells us that at times we may feel alone and we may want to take it out on God, but Matthew's gospel promises us that when we prostrate ourselves to God, that it is okay to do so, and it assures us that we're not alone. So I come to you this week with no great, glorious, and eschatological answers. Sometimes I believe I'm coming to you this morning with more questions than anything else. But when we feel we can't go any further, when the depths of our souls are filled with pain and doubt, because truly, dear Lord, I stand here with you, filled with pain and doubt, I am rest assuring that in this prayer that we're not alone and that God is walking with us and at times carrying us to be true disciples in his name. And for this week, dear Lord, I hope that's enough. Amen. As we come together as a community in the Lord's table, all believers of our Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of our membership in this congregation, we're invited and eagerly encouraged to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. So please know that this is open to all of you as we sing our communion hymn in your chalice hymnals, 587, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
If we accept Psalm 88 as the only lesson in the journey, we miss the beauty that the grieving and the lamenting can do. When we grieve and when we lament, when we yell out to our God, we are at the most vulnerable place that we can be. And in that moment is when that still small voice can promise us that we are not forsaken. And that not only are we not alone, but that God may even be carrying us in that moment. And this meal that we have each and every week that we gather is that physical memory of understanding that Psalm 88 is not it. It's not the end of the story or the end of the chapter. It is a promise of the fulfillment of our God. And those of us, when we are weary and fearful, when we come to this table and accept the cup of forgiveness and the bread of life, it renews and it refreshes us so that we can walk the journey together. Regardless of our denominational affiliation and regardless of our church membership, when we believe that Jesus is the Christ through our tears and through our anger, and when we believe through everything that tells us alternatively that He is our Lord and Savior, this meal will nourish us and sustain us, and most importantly, is open to all of us.
Let us pray. Most gracious God, may the joy of being Christians be evident in our lives. Grant us a happy and an outgoing faith so that others will know you through us. Let this communion be a celebration because Jesus has come and he bids us to follow him. Be with us now so that we may be renewed and enabled to witness for you more effectively. Amen.
On the night of his arrest in the upper room, Jesus took the bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, and after giving praise and thanks to our God, he said that this cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And as often as you drink from the cup and eat from the bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
One of the most beautiful things that we can do as a community that responds to the Word of God is publicly say that through the grief and through the grace and through the tragedy, but through the joy, that we are disciples of Christ, faithful to our Lord and Savior. And this is the time to do that. If you are in need of a search, if you are in need or in search of a church home, or you want to come forward to publicly rededicate your life to Christ, you are eagerly invited to do so during this call to discipleship, which is in your chalice hymnals, verses 1 and 3, number 500, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
That's 560.
560. Thanks, Wanda. Please stand if you're able. So let us go forth from this building together, believing and understanding that our Lord carries us, cries with us, loves us, and nourishes us. And let us bow our heads to receive this blessing. May the God who embraces us and who dances in creation with us understand and shake our lives like thunder, but bless us and drive us with power to fill the world with justice, and knowing that we are not alone in that dance. Let us take this as we go forth from this place and re-inviting and reacquainting those that we meet in our lives this day, understanding that the sustenance and grace of your words are with us. Amen.